Well, we have been on a series. Pastor David has been on a series of hearing God's voice. How many of you have enjoyed that so far? Okay, so I am doing Hearing God's Voice Part 3, voices you don't want to listen to. How many of you know there's voices you don't want to listen to? And then blocks to hearing. Now, I'm not going to cover every single voice you don't want to listen to, and I'm not going to be able to cover every single block, but I'm going to try to cover the big ones. Is that fair? All right. Holy Spirit, I just ask for your help. I completely surrender to you. Use me, Lord. Use me. In Jesus' name, amen. So now the concept of hearing God might be new to some of you. Perhaps you've had a teaching or heard something that God doesn't speak to you any longer or to the church any longer. That's just not true. That's a lie. But perhaps you are new to the Lord and you don't know what we're talking about. Just hang around. You'll learn. You'll get it. Your ears are going to be opened to what God is wanting to say to you. And God communicates to us in many different ways. Pastor David is going to continue that part next week. But last week he did talk about how the Holy Spirit is that still small voice, right? And he sometimes is an intersecting thought. And if nothing else, he leads us by his peace. Do you all remember that? Do you remember those? Okay, so like I said, today I want to talk about the voices you don't want to listen to and the blocks to hearing. How many of you believe that Jesus Christ is good? How many of you believe the Father is good? How many of you believe the Holy Spirit is good? How many of you believe that Jesus Christ is the good shepherd? And he is worthy to be followed. We don't lead him, we follow him. Sometimes we get that a little confused. But let's just start with a passage that Pastor David has been using. John 10:3. The sheep listen to his voice. Can you do the for me? I like that. That's good. That's good. You guys are good. All right. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. I love that part. He calls his sheep by name. He knows my name. He knows your name. And he calls you by your name. Amen. When he has brought us all out, his own, he goes on ahead of them. And his sheep follow him because they know his voice. So that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to teach you how to hear his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize the stranger's voice. Now, I can say happily that I now run from a stranger's voice. Amen. And if you are a mature saint, hopefully you do that as well. I mean, the thing about hearing the voice of the Lord and being able to understand the different voices is it takes a little while to learn. I want to share a story with you. There was a father who was teaching his little boy not to answer the door just for anybody. Okay, good parenting, right? Parenting 101, right? And so he said, okay, son, this is what I want you to do. When people knock at the door and I'm not there to answer, I really want you to ask who it is. And if you don't recognize who it is or you don't recognize the voice, run and come and get me. Good parenting, right? Well, the same thing is we need to be able to know who's knocking at the door. Is it Satan? Or is it Jesus, the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit, okay? Is it a stranger, stranger danger, right? We teach our kids stranger danger, but we also have to be aware of the stranger danger, amen? All right, so the problem is most of these voices that are supposed to be strangers, when we first come to the Lord, are actually very familiar to us, amen? Am I wrong? I think I'm right. We are creatures of habit. We gravitate to what is easy, familiar, and comfortable. Amen? And so we have a tendency to, because in the world, we didn't really pay attention to Jesus. But we were still subject to the voices of the demonic that rule this world.
We were led by the demonic that rules this world. We were in partnership with the demonic that rules this world. And quite frankly, when you first come to Christ, it's a whole lot easier to be in tune with those old voices, especially if you've made them friends. Hello. So I have found, I do a lot of ministry with young believers, and I have found it's a lot easier for them to believe the lies of the enemy than the beautiful truth of God's word. What do I mean by that? Voices. When I first came to this church, I was living in sin. I was a real good sinner. Amen. How many of you can say, I'm in there with you? All right. Well, I was invited and I came, and I was so afraid to come because I knew where I was living. And I felt like I did not belong in church. Okay, I felt like everybody had it together but me. I felt like maybe the church, I might get zapped, right? I might get disintegrated by walking into the church. Come on. Come on. Am I the only one? Okay, so I remember the day I walked through the doors and I just, inside of me, I heard these voices. You don't belong here. What are you doing here? You don't belong here. You just need to turn around and go. And I guarantee you, I would have turned around and went had I not come with somebody and they were my ride. But you know what happened that day? Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, I encountered the Lord. And he didn't look the other way with my issues. He confronted me in the most loving, compassionate, endearing voice I had ever heard in my life. He said, Bobby, you need to change your ways and come unto me. And back then, I was hardened. I would not cry. This chick did not cry. But I broke in the back, right back there. I broke. I bawled. I couldn't control it because love itself had just encountered me. And I knew I needed to change. I didn't know how. But had I left, which is what the enemy wanted me to do, had I listened to those voices, had I not had somebody that was my ride, I probably wouldn't be here today. Amen? So this is those voices, those that, you know, they need to become strangers, but they're actually friends right now. They're very familiar. In fact, I want to go ahead and call them a familiar spirit to a degree. All right. So as I said, the challenge we have, especially when we first come to the Lord, is not being led by the old voices. We have a tendency to be led by the old voices because, again, they're familiar, they're comfortable, they're easy, right? Following Jesus, following the Holy Spirit, is not always easy. There are many voices coming at us every day, okay? First of all, your flesh is screaming at us all the time, right? Your flesh wants what your flesh wants. Your bank account, people, social media, the news, Holy Spirit is in there. He's always talking to you. You know, the Holy Spirit never not talks. It's just you don't tune in. You know, there's blockages, and we're going to talk about that in a little bit. The world system, the enemy, the world system talks to us loud and clear. It tells us how to conform to this world. Amen? And then we have spirits of darkness. So my question to you is, who are you giving more attention to? Who are you giving more attention to? The ways of the world, which is dictated, okay, behind the scenes by the enemy. It just is. He's the God, the little g of this world. That's who he is. He's in control right now of everything because of Adam. Everybody say, thank you, Adam. Yeah. All right. Yeah, thanks, Adam. Holy cow. Your mind is like a computer. Did you all know that? Your mind is like a computer, and it's been programmed. Pre-Jesus, your mind was programmed to the ways of this world, to the ways of the enemy, the voices of your past, and so on. So I have a fun fact for you. Everybody likes fun facts. I like fun facts. Fun fact. You have what is called the default mode network. I'm going to say that again. The default mode network, the DMN. This is our brain's autopilot. How does science know this? I don't know. They just do. Okay. Your DMN is active when you're resting, daydreaming, or ruminating. It defaults to old thought patterns. What do I mean? The other day, I was driving. I come to the church a lot. I have a certain path that I go. Sometimes, I don't know about you, I space off while I'm driving.
I go somewhere. And instead of taking a right to go downtown, all of a sudden I realize I'm going up the hill. And I'm like, what am I doing? That's my default mode network. Okay, now that's an example of it. All right? So the problem is it also defaults to old thought patterns, to worry, overthinking, self-criticisms, and fear-based narratives that we have pre-Christ. Does that make sense? All right. So when left unchecked, the DMN can reinforce automatic thought patterns that keep us stuck in cycles of negativity, self-doubt, and here's a big one, self-sabotage. You always wonder, why do I always do that? Why do I? Because the enemy and you have kicked over into what you've been programmed to do by who? The enemy. Amen? It's important you get this. The enemy takes advantage of the way God designed our brain. He is not a creator, but he is a counterfeiter. And he takes advantage of what God has created. Okay? So he preys on our brain's DMN. Does that make sense? He preys on all kinds of things. He goes about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Y'all are looking at me like a cow at a gate. All right. Thoughts, how many of you know this? Thoughts cause emotion and action. Thoughts cause emotion and action. The battlefield, again, is in the mind. We have many thoughts coming at us. We got the Holy Spirit. We got our flesh. We got the world system. We got all kinds of things coming at us, okay? And this is why I believe Paul was so adamant in Romans 12. I appeal to you, therefore. It's not like, you know, guys, I just appeal to you. Like, hey, let's chill for a minute. No, the tense behind this, I implore you. I appeal to you. Come on, like, this is urgent. If you want to be victorious in Christ, I appeal to you, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice. What are the mercies of God? That extravagant love that we just sang about this morning. The fact that we all deserve the penalty of the cross, and yet Jesus Christ loved us so much. The Father loved us so much that he sent his only Son to what? Take the penalty upon himself. To die on a cross. You and I deserved death. Come on. Jesus didn't deserve it. Barabbas, was that his name? You know, the ugly criminal. We were Barabbas. And Jesus took our place. So by those mercies right there, by what Jesus did on the cross, we are to present our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy. What does that mean? That means set yourself apart. Don't be a part of the world. Don't be a part of who you used to be. Don't hang out with those same friends. I'm sorry if you're new to this church. I get a little excited. In the past year, I've tried to contain myself. I've tried to be more like Jesus, and then I had to repent because it was comparisons. I can't be like David. I'm sorry. I gotta be me. Whatever. Anyway. Okay. Holy Spirit. All right. So as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. The Lord loves it when we come and worship him in spirit and truth. But it's so much more important to what we do out there when we leave Sunday morning. Are we setting our lives aside for Jesus Christ? Are we living for Jesus Christ? Or are we just treating him like Santa Claus? Or a sugar daddy? I know. Do not be conformed to this world, but here's a real key. Be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by the testing you may discern. See, right now some of you can't discern squat.
You can't discern a good voice from a bad voice because you have not set yourself aside. You have not been renewing your mind. Your mind is still defaulting to those old thought patterns, those old ways of living, still living in the world and in sin and this kind of putting a band-aid on it and that I'm saved, I'm covered under the blood. Not so much. The blood is for us to be able to repent. For our sins. What does repentance mean? Walk away. Turn around. Go the other direction. Be holy as He is holy. Amen. This wasn't even my message. This is a bonus. Be transformed by the renewal of your mind that you may discern what is the will of God. You're not going to know the will of God until you start doing some things. That good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And it is so good and it is so perfect and it is so... I have been changed. I have been transformed. And I am continuing to be transformed. You would be amazed what I looked like when I first showed up to this church. You would be amazed of the things I've had to die to. And the transformation that has had to take place. But I wouldn't change it for the world. Amen? We must start thinking about what we're thinking about. We must start catching those thoughts that are coming at you all the time. You have 40 to 60,000 of them in a day. There's a lot of negative coming at you. Whoever controls the mind controls the person. We need to be aware of this. What is controlling your mind? What are you focusing on? Because I guarantee you, that's what's controlling you. You can be born again, saved, love Jesus, but something else can be controlling your actions. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Then, I don't have this in the outline, the thief comes only, everybody say only. That's important. The thief only comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus says, I have come that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd, he says. You know, in this passage alone, he says he's the good shepherd 3 times. That's a lot. If something's been repeated in passage, boom, 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 it's important. It's important. And he's telling you, he is the good shepherd. He's not just a shepherd. He is the good shepherd. And he is worth following. He is worth dying for. Who else do you know that ever died for you? I don't know anybody that's ever died for me. Not really. Only Jesus. So what are these principalities, powers, and rulers? What are they? What do they look like? Well, the spirits we contend with daily, and this is not a limited, you know, list. This is just a few. Spirits of fear, rejection, bitterness, heaviness, self-pity, confusion, divination, rebellion, pride, idolatry, division, unbelief, and, oh, here's one we're talking about today, accusing spirits. Those are nasty little suckers. We can also refer to them as unloving spirits. But we're calling them accusing spirits. And a lot of times, you can identify a spirit by their characteristics, how they act, what they do. All right? All spirits of darkness feed on your flesh. They're defeated in the spirit. Like, they have nothing on the Holy Spirit. You all understand that, right? It's about your flesh. It's about your soul, your mind, your will, and your emotions. Follow me? So these spirits speak or put thoughts in our mind, and they work to manipulate what we believe, say, and do. They've been doing it from the time you were born. And they use people to speak things to you. They use social media, like we just talked about. They use all kinds of different avenues. And then there's those thoughts that just come into your mind. That's how they work. Again, the battlefield is in the mind. They speak accusations, condemnation, doubt, confusion, criticism, judgment, shame, guilt, unworthiness, discouragement, division, and hopelessness. This is what they do.
This is what they do. And they use our ignorance against us. They use our ignorance against us. This is why I'm here today, to help you be less ignorant. Amen? I'm a pastor. What can I say? And they use our unwholeness against us. As believers, we can still feel unworthy, guilty, unclean, and unacceptable to God. Let me say that again. As believers, you can still feel unworthy, guilty, unclean, and unacceptable to God. If you feel that way, you are listening to an accusing spirit. You are not hearing from God. Jesus Christ died. He took your place. He actually says you are the righteousness of God through Christ Jesus. You are not unacceptable. You are, quite frankly, accepted. Now, does that mean some of your behavior is okay? No, it doesn't mean that. I know. I'm sorry. I feel that way sometimes too. Lord, bless that baby. Bless that family. It's okay. Kids happen. It's all good. It's all good. So it's important to understand that is not God talking to you. That is not the Holy Spirit convicting you. That is guilt, shame, and condemnation via an accusing spirit coming against you to what? Negate what Jesus Christ has done for you. To get you to believe what? Lies. They're liars. They're all liars. Can we say they're all liars? Okay, so how do we deal with these thoughts? How do we deal with the stuff coming in our mind? Well, Scripture is so good. According to Scripture, we are to capture our thoughts. But here's the caveat. In order to capture your thoughts, you have to be aware of your thoughts. Is that fair? And so many people are not aware of your thoughts. You need to say, I'm going to challenge you. Start thinking about what you're thinking about. Okay? For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Hallelujah. They're not carnal. It's not like, you know, they're spiritual. But mighty in God. Everybody say mighty in God. For pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Bringing every thought. Everybody say every thought. Into captivity to the obedience of Christ. This is your part, guys. This is my part. And I've been doing this. I've made this a way of life to now where I'm teaching people how to identify thoughts, how to get rid of thoughts, how to repent, how to properly forgive. The body of Christ knows we need to forgive. Y'all just don't really know how to do it. It's so true. So you have mighty weapons in God, and it's your responsibility. Everybody say, my responsibility. To take those thoughts captive, to cast them down, and to bring them into the obedience of Christ. How do you do that? How do you take your thoughts captive? Well, I've already said it, but number one, you got to recognize the thoughts. You got to start thinking about what you're thinking about. Number two, you confront them. You identify the lie and call it out. Listen, if somebody came up to you and accused you of something and it was a flat-out lie, what would you do? You wouldn't just say, oh, yeah, you're right. But we do that. No, we have to recognize, confront, identify the lie, call it out, command, take authority. You know, Jesus Christ gave you authority. He gave all believers authority over powers of darkness, over sickness, infirmity, disease. He gave that to you. So this is where we start applying it. We take authority over those lies in Jesus' name. You always have to do it in Jesus' name. You're nothing without Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit. And you tell it to go. I used to believe that I was stupid because I grew up on the streets and with a lot of turmoil because of my parents and beatings of foster homes, all kinds of stuff. And I could not learn like everybody else. And so what did they do? Bless their darling hearts. They put me in special classes, which I'm told they don't do anymore because it's discrimination or something like that. I don't know how I feel about that. But anyway, I was put in special classes and I got this stigma of being stupid. And I grew up that way, and I was always a little bit behind. And honestly, the only thing that kept me in school was sports. Sports is a good thing. But I graduated, to everybody's surprise. I graduated, and I kind of went on with life and sinned and did all that fun stuff that, you know, whatever. Anyway, my point is, I had a DMN of stupid. And when you have a DMN of stupid, you always try to do everything perfect, even though you've never done it before. And then what happens is, because you can't do perfect to something you've never done before, it reinforces the fact that you're stupid. This is how this works. This is how the enemy works against us. So I came to the Lord, and I was married for a year or two, and I remember I was in the closet, and I said, oh, I don't remember what mistake I made, but I made some kind of mistake, and I just said, I'm so stupid. And I think my husband was tired of hearing it, because I would say it a lot, and he says, stop it. Would God ever tell you you're stupid? And I just, kind of set me back for a moment. I'm like, well, no, he wouldn't. He says, then why are you agreeing with it? Why are you believing it? You've been taught what to do. Why are you not doing it? Well, what are you going to say? Okay, you're right. You're right. So I had to command it in Jesus' name. I had to break agreement with that. And I had to what? Renew my mind. I had to replace it with the truth of Scripture, God's Word. I have the mind of Christ. I'm the righteousness of God through Christ Jesus. Some of you just need to start doing battle in your own mind, because God has given you the ability and the command, really. He's not going to do it for you. Quit praying to God to take thoughts away. It's not going to happen. That's not even scriptural. It's not. But people do it all the time, and then they're like, oh, God just doesn't answer prayer. Well, maybe you're not doing it right. I'm sorry. I got to bring truth. You know, the word of God is for correction and encouragement and all kinds of good things. We just like the fluffy. This isn't fluffy. But this will catapult you into being victorious. How many want to be victorious? How many of you want to fulfill the call of God in your life? Amen. So, I'm going to repeat it again. We need to recognize, pay attention to your thoughts. Confront, identify the lie, and call it out. And when I say call it out, use your mouth. Use your mouth. Here's the thing. God can hear your thoughts, but the enemy cannot. He can put thoughts in there, but he is not omnipotent. He is not omnipresent. And by the way, he's already been defeated by Jesus Christ. He cannot hear your thoughts. So we have to, life and death are in the power of the tongue. So when I hear those thoughts, I say, devil, you're a liar. I take authority over that accusation, because that's what it is, that I'm stupid. I renounce you. I come out of agreement. Get out of my head. And then I go to the word. If I don't know the word, I find something to fill it with. And this is a mistake so many people make, is you don't fill it with something. You just tell it to go. And then it comes back. They'll always try to come back. But if it's filled with the Word of God and the Holy Spirit, there's no room. And you can say, no, 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 no. I rebuke you in Jesus' name. All right. Is it warm in here, or is it just me? All right. So those are the voices you don't want to listen to. And there's many of them. There's many of them. Now I want to transition into blocks to hearing. Because some of you, you're trying. You're really trying to hear God, but there's a block. You're not hearing Him. I hear that. I can't hear God. And there's all kinds of reasons why, perhaps. But I'm going to cover the big kahunas today. Can we say kahuna? Is that Hawaiian or something? All right. This is important. Blocks to hearing. Number one, I believe, is the deaf and dumb spirit. The deaf and dumb spirit. Jesus talks about this spirit. This spirit is also referred to as a foul spirit and an unclean spirit. And in Mark, Matthew, Luke, it talks about, they're called all the same passages, same event, just different names. So, but for our purposes, I'm calling the deaf and dumb spirit. The devil blinds people's eyes, ears, and minds to the things of God. That's what he does. Remember, he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And he hates God, and he hates you because God loves you. And so he wants to just block anything that he can. And he can. And he blinds people's ears and eyes. Now, the deaf and dumb spirit, for today, I'm going to be referring to it in the spirit, how he blocks us spiritually. But let me just say, the deaf and dumb spirit is also rampant in just in the natural, in the physical, in that I believe a lot of, ADD and all these disorders, a lot of disorders are just demons. You know what's funny is we're one of the most intelligent nations in the world, but we're really stupid when it comes to spiritual warfare. I mean, people in third world countries, they know how to identify demons. But we pacify demons, and we give them a fancy name, and then we take medication. All right. But I have to teach you the Word of God, amen? So, it doesn't mean a person is stupid. Doesn't mean that at all. It just means deaf. If you're deaf, you could possibly have I'm not saying every single situation, but I'm saying it could be linked to a spirit of deaf and dumb. Is that fair? Is that fair? Okay. All right. So he has blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, lest they see with their eyes and understand with their heart and turn, and I would heal them. See, God is always interested in healing you. God always wants to heal you, but you have to understand there is a spiritual war. There's a spiritual battle going on for over you, okay? And the enemy blocks things because we've opened up to things. We have opened up to them, folks. Out of our ignorance, perhaps. Out of our rebellion, maybe. But we've opened up to it. So symptoms of a deaf and dumb spirit are falling asleep in church, you can't concentrate, you don't remember or understand Scripture, and you're unable to hear the Holy Spirit. The deaf and dumb spirit affects our ability to understand. It affects our ability from getting it here to here. How many of you know we got to have the Word in our heart, not just a bunch of head knowledge? It's not a mental ascension, it's of the heart. And so the enemy wants to block it from getting from here to here. A person may want to hear God, maybe be very hungry to hear, but you just can't. It's very possible you have a deaf and dumb spirit. Amen? So why does the enemy do this? Because in doing this, he can rob your faith. Because how does faith come? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing the Word of God. The enemy is out to rob your faith, to steal your faith. Remember, to kill, steal, and destroy. He's out to get it. Because without it, we can't even please God without faith. Amen? So the deaf and dumb spirit partners with accusing spirits and the spirit of unbelief. So we've already talked about accusing spirits. And so now deaf and dumb partners with the accusing spirits. And they're like a little gang going someplace. They're punks going someplace to happen. Okay? And so now that leads us to the spirit of unbelief. And this is rampant through the church. This is rampant. I'm calling out the spirit of unbelief today. Because we want to hear God. We want to move in the spirit. We want the Acts, church. Don't we? Well, what's the problem then? Well, could be we have a spirit of unbelief. Because that spirit just prevents Jesus could do no mighty works because of their unbelief. And he was Jesus. Amen. So the spirit of unbelief. Unbelief is sin because it is not believing and trusting God. We got to call it for what it is. Unbelief is sin because we're not believing and trusting God. And in essence, when we're not believing and trusting God, inadvertently we're calling God a liar. And we're believing the liar. And we've empowered the liar by what we believe. That's good preaching. So what do we need to do? We need to humble ourselves and repent. We need to renounce and come out of agreement with the spirit of unbelief and pray, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief.
Come on, I've prayed this. Can we get over our religiosity and pharisaical church going and just say, I try to believe. I'm struggling here. Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. I don't know how many times I pray, Lord, I believe. I know it's true, Lord, but help my unbelief. Help me get to the other side of this.
Amen. I'm just going to move on. I think that says it all pretty much. Number three, past or continued involvement in occult practices or counterfeit religions. That's a huge one. By the way, I want to announce before I forget, the teaching in Abundant Life this Friday is exposing the occult. I can't possibly go into everything. That would be a whole lesson on its own. So I'm just going to hit some big ones, and I'm not even getting all the big ones. You follow me? So if you want to know more about exposing the occult, what the occult is, how it affects your life, I encourage you, go to Abundant Life, 6:30 this Friday. We work real hard to get you out by 8 or a little sooner. All right. So Paul in different epistles warns believers 6 times not to be ignorant concerning the word of God. 6 times. Ignorance is the devil's playground. You know that saying that ignorance is bliss? I believe that was just a soundbite from the pit of hell. I really do. So many Christians are unaware. Okay, now, sometimes we fall into things, we're just ignorant, right? Many Christians aren't aware of the dividing line between the things of God and the things of Satan. And the unfortunate thing is, so many things that are of Satan, they slap Jesus' name on it, and that's a tactic of the enemy, too. And so just because it has Jesus' name on it, don't believe that's Jesus, okay? That's where discernment comes in, and not being ignorant of the Word of God. All right, so we're talking about, again, things that block you from hearing. So this is to help you. And if you disagree, I'm going to go out on a limb here because I'm going to be stepping on some sacred cows here. If you disagree with me, hey, you have freedom to disagree. Jesus gives you freedom to disagree. He doesn't recommend you disagree. He says, I put before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Then he says, choose life. But you can choose death if you want to. Why do I say this? Because I'm going to be stepping on perhaps some sacred cows. And the accusing spirits, because they partner with occultic spirits and deaf and dumb spirits, and they want to keep you where you're at. And they're going to tell you, you're going to hear, I just don't believe that. I just don't agree with that. I just don't know about that. Well, all I can say is David and I work very hard to study the Word of God, understand the Word of God. We're not perfect. I could be wrong, but in this case, not so much, because I've made this a life ministry, if you will. Okay? Is that fair? So I'm warning you, you're going to hear accusing spirits, and their purpose is to kill, steal, and destroy, and to keep you in the pit that you're in, even though you might think it's awesome. Okay. So, when people stray into those areas that appear harmless, remember they appear harmless, but in reality are demonic, it creates blocks to hearing God and havoc in their lives. I'm going to say that again. When people stray into those areas, those demonic areas that you don't realize are demonic, because we have just downplayed everything in the Western culture, okay? It appears harmless, but in reality are demonic. All you got to do is read your Bible. Read the Bible. It will tell you what is demonic. It will tell you what you should stay away from, what you should not participate in. It tells you. It does, okay? My people perish for a lack of knowledge. Hosea 4:6, Satan depends on this. Satan doesn't want you to get into your Bible. He doesn't want you to believe what it says. That's that spirit of unbelief. You think you have choice. You do have choice, but it's a choice of the spirit of error. Yikes! Okay, I'm moving on. So central to occultism, okay? This is an overall view, is man's desire to be his own God. Call his own shots. Who wanted to be equal with God? Satan wanted to be equal with God. So we got to know that pride is involved there. Amen? If we think we can call our own shots, we've got pride, and we are actually partnering with Satan in the moment. You can be saved and do that, believe it or not. Since the fall, rebellion has characterized mankind. My will over God's will, which is what? Independence. We were all independent of God before we accepted what Jesus Christ did on the cross. But now on this side of the cross, we are not to be independent from God at all. We are, quite frankly, to be very dependent upon God. And we are to walk away from those old things of demonic activity that we once participated in. Definition of a cult. Divination. Well, we're getting to divination. Hold on. Definition of a cult. Okay. Any belief or practice that opposes God, denies the deity of Jesus, or comes between God and us. Any belief, any practice that denies the deity of Jesus and comes between us and God. It's like an eclipse. In fact, when there's an eclipse of the sun, it's called what? A cultic moon. A cultic moon. And so these demonic things come between us and God to where we can't, it's not that God's not speaking, we just can't hear. There's a blockage. Or we won't hear because of rebellion. I'm getting to that one. Hold on. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. And stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. The word witchcraft can be translated as soothsaying or divination. Rebellion is not a happy place. It is quite dangerous. And let me just say, I'm not even talking about all those areas that we shouldn't even get into. Go to Abundant Life to find out what those areas are. But there's so much rebellion. And listen, my heart is, I want the move of the Holy Spirit in this house, don't you? I want the move of the Holy Spirit in your life. I want to see some supernatural stuff going on because that's God's will. But God is coming for a church that is spotless. And he will not put up with rebellion. He will not put up with us entertaining. In fact, to have friendship with the world is to be at odds or an enemy of God. Yikes, that wasn't even my note. So Lord, help me, just help me get through this without too much. But I'm thinking the Holy Spirit wants you to know these things. Is that fair? Oh Lord, help me. In every appearance and application, occultism is rebellion against God and his authority. So wherever you look, you know, before I got saved, I was kind of interested in finding God. And to give you a little history, I got saved in a Baptist home when I was 8. And so I had, you know, the Holy Spirit in me, but I got lost. And nobody took me to church. I grew up in the world and I was searching for God, and I had issues because those particular people ended up being abusive to me. And so I didn't want anything to do with that particular whatever. Anyway, I got involved in the Mormon church because I was familyless, I was fatherless, and they looked like on the outside that they had it all together with family and everything. And I even got baptized in the Mormon church. So I understand a lot about the Mormon church. You'd be surprised. But I remember going to the service because I had the Holy Spirit living in me. I remember, and they were singing, and I just remember so clearly the Holy Spirit saying, "This place is dead. You need to leave." And I left. Now, when I came to the Lord finally, and I heard the Lord here, what did the pastors do? They made me renounce. I had to renounce and come out of agreement with any involvement, even though I did it innocently and ignorantly and all that good. I had to renounce and come out of agreement and like let it go. So this is what we're talking about here today. You follow me? I'm not teaching you anything I haven't done myself, okay? All right. So all disobedience is rebellion. Everybody say all disobedience is rebellion. Now we like, oh yeah, I just didn't listen to the Lord. I just disobeyed and did my own thing. Oh, well. Now, I do it too. Can I just be honest? There's times I hear the Lord and I'm busy or I just don't want to. Can we be honest? But I'll tell you what I do is I come back around real quick and I'm like, Lord, forgive me. And actually, as I was preparing this message, I'm like, wow, I got some repenting to do. Lord, forgive me, because I want to hear your voice. I do not want to be rebellious to the one that died for me. I do not want to be rebellious because of that. He deserves everything, does he not? We deserve nothing, but he gave us everything. Amen? So opposition to God's word, hear me out, is really a rejection of God. You can't separate God from his word. So if we're like reading the Bible like, yeah, no, I don't believe that. Well, you're rejecting God. And that is rebellion. That is demonic and idolatry and occultism. It's what it is. Just is what it is. I feel like I'm missing something, but I think you get the point. All right. So that's 1, 2, and 3. 4 is very closely related. This is a sacred cow for somebody. I'm sorry, but I want you to grow. I hope you hear my heart. And everything I'm saying up here today is for the body of Christ to grow and be the church that Jesus Christ died to come back to. Is that fair? I totally believe in personal responsibility. We have to understand that anytime we are rebellious, rebellion blocks us from hearing the voice of God. And I would encourage you to be praying and asking for the conviction of the Holy Spirit. Amen? All right, 4, and this is very closely related to occultic. In fact, it is occultism. But I felt like, okay, I just need to kind of separate this, but it really is part of occultism, and you don't even realize it. 4, all recreational drug use is being under the influence of the spirit of pharmakia. The spirit of pharmakia, which is sorcery, witchcraft, divination, and idolatry. It's quiet in this church today. All recreational drug use is being under the influence of the spirit of pharmakia. You're under a spirit. You just are. Which is sorcery, witchcraft, divination, and idolatry. All mind-altering drugs open you up to the demonic. And they quickly become demonic strongholds. And they block you from hearing what you really need to hear, what you really need to understand. They block you. And that is the whole point. The enemy comes and he does these things to kill, steal, and destroy. You can be born again, thumping your Bible, praising the name of Jesus, but you're not going to hear him the way God wants you to hear if you are involved in recreational drugs that open you up to the demonic. You are divided, and a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Thank you. It desensitizes you. It just desensitizes you and blocks your hearing. But Bobby, you don't understand. I'm so full of anxiety. I'm so full of all the, I need to have that. Talk about idolatry. You need that thing? No, you need Jesus Christ. You need to go to him for your peace and your comfort and your security. Am I saying it's easy? No. But by his grace, we can do it. He doesn't call us to do anything he hasn't prepared us to do. By the prayers of your brothers and sisters, you can be delivered from that thing. But you got to break friendship with it. You got to see it for what it is. Can you keep going the way you are? Yeah, you can. Will God still love you? Yeah, he will.
But you're not going to fulfill the call of God in your life. You're going to be dumbed down and probably be, you know, we were talking in a prayer meeting last night. By the way, prayer meeting Saturday night. I invite you. There's only four of us. It's kind of lonely. We were talking about vessels of honor in the Father's house and vessels of dishonor. I want to be a vessel of honor. And there's some things we got to, it says to cleanse ourselves. We got to cleanse ourselves, church, of some things. Now it's a process. You're not going to get cleansed all in one day, but hey, you can be that little pot in the corner of dishonor. That's fine. God still loves you. But he's not going to use that little pot like he can use the other pots. All right. I'm almost done. So here's the thing. The enemy doesn't care what you believe as long as it's not the truth. He doesn't care what you believe as long as it's not the truth of Jesus Christ and the truth of the Word of God. He just doesn't care as long as it's not the truth. So you can believe all kinds of stuff. He doesn't care. But if you start believing the truth, this is why some of you are like going ballistic in your mind right now, because the enemy's like, don't believe that. Don't believe it. No, 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 don't. Because why? He's going to lose his grip. Okay. I'm having fun up here. I hope you're having fun out there. Oh, you know, I don't know why I'm always the one that has to do these things, but it just is. Listen, I would love to bring you one of those fluffy feather good, like, who doesn't like to do that? But that doesn't seem to be the call that I have. It's like, sometimes you just got to say, okay, do what you want, God. Holy Spirit's in charge. Yes! All right, so the devil doesn't care what you believe as long as it's not the truth. So we need to understand that Jesus Christ is perfect theology. Jesus is perfect theology. What Jesus did is good. And we need to follow. He is the good shepherd. He is the voice that we should want to die. What I mean die? Die to the flesh. I want to get rid of those things because nothing is more important to me than hearing the voice of my shepherd. The good shepherd. The one that will lead me through the paths of darkness. The one that will save me out of pits I follow in. The one that loves me beyond measure. I want to follow that Jesus, but I'm willing to die to some of the things that I really like. There's some things I really liked that I had to give up. Any mature saint, they're going to say, yeah, I had to give up, but you know what? It was worth it. Amen. Okay. The sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name. There we go again. He calls us by name. He's calling you by name. He's calling you out. He's calling you away from your demonic buddies. He's calling you out. He wants all of you. He doesn't want to share, and he doesn't want you tormented. And I guarantee you, being involved in the occult and in drug activity and rebellion and all that, it's misery. It really is. It's not fun. The enemy tries to convince us it's fun. Right? He is a liar. He's 100% liar. And, you know, I'm sorry if I'm stepping. Well, I'm not sorry. I'm not sorry. I am not sorry. I am not sorry for stepping on your sacred cow. I'm not. I am not sorry because that cow just needs to get stomped and die. All right. I am the good shepherd and I know my sheep and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know my Father. I love this because it's that intimate relationship of the Father and the Son that provides the model for the relationship that we are supposed to have with the shepherd. The relationship that we're supposed to have with the Holy Spirit. It's that complete trust and adoration and love. You know, love is compelling. Love compels us to do things. Love compels us. Love compelled the Father. Love compelled Jesus. Love compels. My question is, how much do you really love God? How much? I believe you, sister. Do we love him enough?
to let those other things go, to be full abandoned, that reckless love, you know, just to give everything up for Jesus. We must develop a relationship with the Lord by spending time with Him every day and being aware of Him every moment. You know, you have the Holy Spirit in you. Wherever you go, there He is. I'm learning. I haven't arrived, but I'm learning to be more aware of the Holy Spirit wherever I go than my own little world of importance. And I'm learning when He says, pray for that person, talk to that person, as much as it's uncomfortable as it is, because I'm really shy by nature. It's true. It's thank you. Thank you. Yes, sir, I will. Okay. And I'm working at it. So it's, you know, when I first met David, he was just another voice in the crowd. When you first come to the Lord, it takes time to learn His voice, because there's so many voices that we're used to listening to, and they're louder and they're whatever, and it's, you got to get to know the Lord, to know His voice. You got to get to know His true character, and the Bible tells you what His true character is, and we have a whole teaching on that. Again, Abundant Life. Abundant Life's awesome. Go to Abundant Life. But we become more intimately involved with the voice. And so the more time I spent with David, the more I talked with him, the more what? Familiar I came with David and his voice. And now that we've been married 30 years, I mean, to tell you, I can walk into a crowded room, and I don't know what it is. I ping David's voice. I ping David's laughter. I go towards David. It's the same thing with the Lord. It's the same thing. The more we spend time with Him, the more we get all the distractions out of our life, the more we really make Him Lord of our life, the more we come to just cultivate that relationship in His Word, in prayer, in listening, in being aware of Him wherever we go. There's some of you, if you were aware that Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, lives in you, there's some things you just wouldn't do. I believe God wants revival. This might be the beginning of that. I don't know. But God needs to clean up His church for that to happen. Okay, last but not least, certainly not least, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. Basically, we need to love the Lord with everything we have. We say we love Him. Talk is cheap. In fact, in the Hebrew, it's action. Action words. It's not just talk. That's our culture. Our culture is all talk. But God expects action. I want this house to be purified of the things of darkness. I want your life to be prosperous, and so does God, because that's what Jesus died for. He came to give you abundant life, but you must realize you do have enemies, and they are disguised as friends for some of you. And we need to get rid of them. You need to break up with your friends. I was asking the Lord, Father, what are we going to do? And the deaf and dumb spirit, I want to pray against that deaf and dumb spirit. Because some of you have it. I don't know who you are. And maybe you don't even know who you are. But with your permission, I just want to pray against that deaf and dumb spirit. And if you think you have the deaf and dumb spirit, I want you to just say, deaf and dumb, I call you out in Jesus' name. I break agreement with you, and I command you to leave me. Can we do that? Can we actually pray in church? Can we do some spiritual warfare in church? All right. So, just repeat after me. Listen, let's do this. We're going to do this. Everybody, repeat after me. Okay? Even if you don't have a deaf and dumb spirit, because in a sense, that's kind of interceding for your brothers and sisters. Okay? And you might surprise yourself. Maybe you got one. I don't know. All right. So do I have your permission to lead you in this prayer? All right. Father, we just thank you for the blood of Jesus. We surrender to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And right now, in Jesus' name, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, I call out that spirit of deaf and dumb. You unclean thing. You need to leave me now. In Jesus' name. I break agreement with you. Father, I thank you that you have given me the mind of Christ. Give me ears to hear you, Lord, and a heart to obey. In Jesus' name, amen. So now, in the attitude of prayer, I'm going to invite you, and come on, if like two people show up, I'm going to think y'all are lying. Really, okay? Because rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. And to some degree, if we want to be humble, and if we really want God to move in our life, we have to come to the end of ourselves and just say, you know what? I have been rebellious, and I do need to repent. And there's areas in your life, maybe not every single area. I'm not saying you're bad people. You're great people. But there's some areas that the enemy has an inroad into. And we have to repent. Is that fair? And so I'm inviting you by an act of faith and humility probably to come up and know that you need to repent. You need to repent for your rebellion. Perhaps you need to repent for being involved, knowingly be involved in the occult. As I was talking, you know, there's things, witchcraft. We shouldn't be involved in witchcraft. Oh, here's a sacred animal. Cow. I'm just trying to make sure the Holy Spirit wants me to say this. Give me a moment. All right. Horror movies. Slash them and gash them or whatever they are. Horror movies. I don't know if you're involved in that. Fear-based movies. God is not a God of fear. He's not a God that wants us to celebrate or participate in gruesome kind of things like that. And anyway, this is what happens when you pray, Lord, use me. No matter what. So I'm inviting you. If you want change in your life, if you want to just be humble and come up and receive the Holy Spirit's ministry, I may lay hands on you, I may not. It's not about me. It's about the Holy Spirit. I believe God wants to clean house because he wants you to hear him. He wants you. This whole message has been, you know, voices not to listen to and blocks to hearing. He wants you. He uses me to communicate to you that he wants you to hear him. And these are some things in your life that are preventing him getting through to you. Rebellion is a big one. Maybe you're in a relationship you shouldn't be in. Okay? Maybe you're having sex with that little girl that you shouldn't be having with because she's not your wife. Perhaps you are doing drugs. Perhaps you are just ignoring the voice of the Holy Spirit and doing your own thing. Holy Spirit, I just ask that you convict their hearts, that you would show them what they need to see. Holy Spirit, reveal what needs to be revealed. Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, reveal what needs to be revealed. Help them, Lord. Help them see what they need to see. Help them see what they need to see. Give them a heart of repentance. True repentance. True repentance. True repentance in Jesus' name. Set them on fire, Lord Jesus. Set them on fire, Lord Jesus. We want all of you, Lord, and we want to give you all of us. Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit. Ooh, Holy Spirit, come. Move upon your people. Move upon your people, Holy Spirit. Forgive us, Lord, for not willing to give up those things to have more of you. And help us, Lord. Help us to take authority over those things in our life, to get rid of those old friends. I was just reminded about Elizabeth's message and the oil. God deserves the firsts of everything. And He doesn't want you left wanting when the time comes. So this is a mercy message, really, I believe. It's a mercy message. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, I thank you for each person up here. Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit. If you need to repent for something, just repent. Just repent. If it's something that you've been, just talk to the Lord. Say, Lord, I confess. I've been involved in whatever. Lord, I was wrong. I've sinned against you. Please forgive me. Please forgive me, Lord. Please forgive me for my rebellion. Forgive me. And I purpose and choose to forgive myself. And I release myself from all guilt, shame, and condemnation connected to this. Satan, I break your power and authority over me in this situation. I have repented. God has forgiven me. It is all under the blood of Jesus Christ. Holy Spirit, fill me with your presence. Heal my heart. Open my ears, Holy Spirit, to hear what you are saying. And tell me your truth. And just listen. Just listen to the Lord. He wants to break through. He wants to break through. Hallelujah. God's breaking through right there. I can see it. I can see it. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Can we lift up the name of Jesus? Can we lift up the name of Jesus? I know this isn't church as usual. Come on, do we want just church as usual? Or do we want Jesus Christ? Do we want just a religion or religious organization? Or were we willing to go for the gusto for Jesus? Jesus! Jesus! Come on, church! Jesus! Lift him up! Lift him up, Jesus! Jesus, come on! Even you out in the crowd, do you not appreciate what Jesus Christ has done? Can we get out of our comfort zone a little? Hallelujah! Comfort zones are not a happy place. They seem happy, but they're really not. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I want you, Jesus. I want you, Jesus. I want you, Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit, we want you. Nothing else. Nothing else, Lord. Forgive us. Forgive us, Lord. Nothing else but you, Lord. Father, I pray this week that you would show each and every person the sacred cows that need to die. And I thank you, Lord, that you've already empowered them to do what needs to be done by your Spirit. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I bless each and every one of you. I bless you. I bless you. I bless you. In Jesus' name. Amen.